made a peace of God which goes beyond human understanding, preserve our hearts and thoughts even at this blessed moment of grace. For the text for our sermon, I shall read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, from verse 19 till the end of the chapter. These words are in the name of our Savior. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. The rich man also died and was buried, and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." Amen. This certainly a very familiar portion of God's word to us, wants to pause us at this moment around the matter, on what values do I build my life onto? Jesus teaches in his Sermon on the Mount, "Where is your treasure, there also is your heart." Jesus wants with this story of his to teach us what is to us of most importance. And maybe secondarily, this also wishes to remind us of the today's children of God, of this, that what is our portion once in eternity? Once when we are before the righteous, right-minded, almighty judge, only one matter has significance, then it is this: is the name written in the book of life in heaven? This text puts us, we could say in this way, around the questions of life and death. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, there is time to be born, time to die. Man's life is fragile. None of us will know when the moment of departure is for us. We cannot trust into our youth either. Psalm writer speaks, reminds of us that as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone. In a touching hymn we sing, even a step is enough to translate us into a new life, a new another life. In my sermon, I do not want to bring this kind of a fear of death upon you, but we, dear travel friends, can be of secure mind as in all of these sermons at these services, we have been promised that we can believe, sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And when we believe in this way, dear sisters and brothers, it will be good for us in the future. In a familiar song of Zion, we sing of this destination of ours, of heaven. Their children no longer have the worries of the earth. They can own the joy of heaven. They will praise to Lord, they will have the best portion in heaven. We can ask Heavenly Father of this, that Lord, teach us to count our days, number our days, so that we would receive a wise heart. Have you, dear child of God, traveler of the way, as if compared your life to life of someone, maybe a near one, a friend, who has left the kingdom of God? Has the enemy of the soul showed unto you that life would be easier if you did not have that faith? And it may seem in that way that a person who lives in ungodliness and does not worry about the matters of faith appears to succeed well in his life. It is a speech of the enemy of the souls. The enemy of the souls easily brings this kind of outlook that this faith is something that restricts my life. Maybe you, with a growing family, a mother or father, has it come to your mind that if we would make different kinds of choices, would this life be easier? Maybe there would be more money to use to your own hobbies and welfare. Maybe time for yourself. And there would be many kinds of opportunities to develop yourself and succeed in this world. With thoughts of this kind was also the old covenant young person Asaph. Asaph was maybe under 20-year-old young person, believing young person, who had endeavored to endeavor as with a good conscience. And in a very familiar psalm to us, in Psalm 73, speaks of his own life and his own thoughts. I was close to my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for they have no pangs until death. Have I kept my heart clean in vain and my hands innocent? All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence, for all the day long I have been stricken, rebuked every morning. Sad thoughts and doubting thoughts had Asaph. Even the disciples asked Jesus, "We have left everything and followed you. What do we benefit from it?" This can be familiar thoughts to us also. But as returning back to Asaph tells, "But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I discerned their end." Asaph went to the hearing of God's word, just like we have come here to Ranua Opistha services, to the hearing of God's word. We have come here also to meet our friends and acquaintances and to be refreshed. And there are many kind of good and nice things for us here, but before everything else, haven't we come here to the hearing of the word of God so that we would hear this refreshing gospel, and that we would receive those sights of faith and renewing those sights of faith and outlooks of faith, that so that we will have strength to endeavor. In one sermon today, we also already heard of this Christian doctrine, what is the most important matter in our life. It is to know our Lord Jesus Christ and to become a child of God. That is this matter of faith, this treasure which we can own in our heart. That in the kingdom of God, in the midst of the kingdom of God, we can travel as children of God. There could not be a better portion for human to have. This time which we live is maybe of that kind, that there's a danger for us that we would attach to it and to this temporal too much. We are so deep in this time. We have many important matters here. There can be a demanding job, important hobbies, nice, good things in life, and many kinds of projects which we do, and which as if conquer our heart in such a way that do we even remember always this preciousness of faith. I have often thought of this, how nice moments are those moments when I am together with other children of God and have begun talking about this most important matter. I want to hear, especially reminding myself and us all, that it would be good that we would, when visiting brothers and sisters or meeting them, that we would also speak of other things than these different kinds of projects of our lives and hobbies of our lives and work. That this most precious matter could be there talked about. We would talk about the way and the journey, as maybe it was at summer services or somewhere, or in Keuru, where some brother preciously reminded of this. How important moments are those when that we would speak of the most precious matter, because it is the most important matter in our lives. This text that we read speaks of two people, two very different people. one was such a person that was described by Jesus as a rich man who clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. This text passes us to think, what is our security? What do we trust in our lives? What did this rich man trust in? Where did he place his trust in? Jesus, in a different context, speaks a parable of a rich man of a rich young man who once came to ask Jesus, "Teacher, what should I do to so that I can inherit eternal life?" And when Jesus answers to him that what should a person do to achieve eternal life with one's own deed, this young man responds that in his mind he has done all of this. He has fulfilled all the commandments. But this unwavering, unerring teacher saw the heart of this young man. And as if tried, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all that you have and give the money to the poor. Then you shall have your treasure in heaven. Come then and follow me. This young man left with sad mind, so left sadly. He had much temporal, which to him was more important than following Jesus, more important than the matters of life, matters of faith. At another time, Jesus speaks again of a rich man who cultivated land, farmed land, who had done his work diligently, and his land brought forth a great produce. And this man, satisfied of this, build bigger and bigger storehouses and said contently to himself, "Rest now, eat and drink and enjoy life. You have everything in store for many years." God said unto him, "You fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" The riches of temporal life and success of temporal life will not endure then when we, every one of us, will once live this life there's no longer any security in them for us. This young Asaph, there, hearing the word of God, understood what was the end of the ungodly and how great a portion he himself has. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there's nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. To these disciples questioning Jesus, that what did this benefit us when they had left everything behind and began following Jesus? Jesus answers to them, everyone who, because of me, have given up their house, their brothers or sisters, father or mother or children, or their field, shall receive 100-fold back and inherit eternal life. If it feels sometimes that we need to give up on something, dear travel friends, there have been promised such great blessing in this life to this faith, and we have experienced it here in the travel fold of the kingdom of God, that amazingly great blessing of God. It's not always temporal. It's temporal success. It is specifically peace and security which God gifts us. This text also wants to remind us that repentance is to be take place during this time, during this life. It is a time of grace now. Now is the day of grace. This story of Jesus in a stopping way reminds us of this, that it is too late to repent after the boundary of death. There are two kinds of lives here, but also two different kinds of deaths. For each of us, there once will be that moment when it is time for us to live this life. Why did this rich man have to go to the agony of Hades, hell? And why did this poor Lazarus was able to go to the bosom of Abraham? God's word does not teach us this in this way, that rich, temporally rich people cannot make it to heaven. Of Abraham, forefather of our faith is being described in the Bible, that he was extremely rich man temporarily. He had a great wealth, a personal wealth. Why? Did this rich man have to go to the suffering of damnation? We understand that these matters of temporal life had become so great and important that which is the most important thing was forgotten, caring for one's life of faith. Temporal matters had become too important. This rich man here is a picture in Jesus' story of an unbelieving person. And this poor Lazarus is a picture of a believer. Lazarus was a beggar. Every day he had to beg. Do we also, dear travel friends, experience that we also are beggars, beggars of grace? There's no such day that the enemy of the soul would not get us into wrong, poor thoughts, evil thoughts, wrong choices, into all such which wars against that which would be the desire of our spirit to endeavor according to the word of God. We know that in this dear Christianity, there are also many such children of God to whom Heavenly Father has blessed a temporal good, temporal good. But in whose lives is shown that God has been able to protect him in the portion of Lazarus. In the portion of poor Lazarus. As beggars of grace. This kingdom of God is an even height flock, even headed flock. We do not look here for what is a person's temporal position, what is their position in the society. We are all children of the same Father, beggars of grace. And may it always be so. May our prayer be that no matter if our life temporal is rich or poor, that we would see the most important and most precious thing in our lives. God may allow into our lives heavy trials. We remember, for example, the trials of Job. They were heavy trials. Have you, dear listeners of the Word, here at services or there by the receivers, have you had in your life difficulties, trials? Even through them, God wants to reveal unto us the most important matter, the gold of faith, as in those fires of trial, burning the impurities away, so that the most important would be shown. This text also brings to us such a point of view, or such an outlook, that this rich man, understandably worried about his dear ones who traveled in unbelief, so that they would not come to this place of agony. But Abraham answered, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. We have been given God's holy word, in which there's all that which is necessary to know, so that we would know to get to the way to heaven's home. It doesn't help even if miracles happen or the dead will come to preach to us. Dear children of God, it is an important matter that we will come to services and also teach our children and youth to come to hearing of God's word. I remember from my own youth, in great battles of faith, as I was battling, I could say that one of my feet was securely in the world. I was about to leave, to go to a different town to study. I have afterwards thought of the worry of the parents and those prayers on behalf of me, and the piece of advice that I received as I departed. Look for yourself, there are place of services, other believers. It was a good piece of advice, important one. It has had a great blessing. Dear travel friends, if there's someone here who is as if at the crossroads, which road will I travel? I want to encourage you here at Opisto Services or by the receivers. From the Kingdom of God, we want to encourage, believe all sins, doubts, forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. From this gospel you shall receive strength. And if such a person is listening to this sermon who do not yet own this peace in your heart, who maybe once have been in the care, grace care of this kingdom and had joy over your faith, but have since lost this most precious gift, the kingdom of God is still the kingdom of grace and forgiveness. God has loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, so that not one who believes in him shall perish, but shall have eternal life. Believe at that spot, here and now, all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. I want to also ask for this gospel to my own portion. I came here to this spot with heavy trials and temptations, and I ask, can I believe my sins forgiven? I want to believe together with you in Jesus' name and blood. You have a permission to believe, dear traveler friends, all sins and doubts forgiven in this kingdom as owners of this treasure of faith. It is secure for us to travel onward. We will remain in God and his blessed word of grace. Amen.